This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
What happens when an athlete, professional or amateur, can no longer participate in sports? For many, it's a difficult transition with little available support. That's the focus of our Common Health segment this week. And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, welcome back.
Thanks, Anthony.
So tell us what led you to this subject.
Well, I actually just saw a notice up at my gym. It was a notice with the heading, A Group for Former Athletes. And it asked, are you finding it hard transitioning away from being involved in sports? Have you felt isolated since losing touch with your team or athletic community? Are you struggling to hold on to your sense of identity and purpose without being engaged in sports? And I thought, wow, I bet a lot of people feel that way. Pretty much anybody who's done sports in school and then has to go on to working life, lots of people.
And of course, professional athletes. And it kind of brings to mind, and you wrote about this, the suicide last week of Junior Seau, the former NFL player who shot himself in the chest, right?
That's right. A lot of the coverage about that suicide concerned the possibility that concussions had played a role in bringing him down. But what struck me the most was that the descriptions of him when he was a player were so wonderful. He was intense and upbeat and he loved the game and he was smiling. And then once he left, it sounded like his life really fell apart. He drove his car off a cliff and his girlfriend told police he assaulted her. So it did seem relevant. Yeah.
Interesting. So what did you find out about that notice?
Well, so it turned out it was put up by Dr. Matthew Kroner, who is a postdoctoral fellow in clinical psychology and works at the Brookline Community Mental Health Center.
And Dr. Kroner is here with us now. And Matthew Kroner, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us what made you want to start a group like this, a support group for former athletes.
Well, I think a couple things. For one, I'm interested in transitions and how people transition from one phase of their life to the next. I did my doctoral research in that area. As a sports fan, I've always been sort of fascinated, saddened, intrigued by stories about athletes who are such iconic figures, and then their lives seem to crumble once they leave sport. And as I asked around and started to research more about it, I saw that there really aren't enough resources out there for athletes in this position. And so it made me want to get involved in some way.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about that process. Let me play a piece of tape, though. This is from an interview that I did last month with Tim Wakefield, a former Red Sox pitcher who just announced his retirement this season after some two decades in the game. And I asked him last month, so how's retirement going so far? This is what he said.
It's a process. It really is a process. I do miss the competition, and I do miss the guys and being around them and the preparation for each game. And I do miss it.
So, Dr. Kroner, what's the process that Tim Wakefield is referring to there now that he's retired?
Well, I think sports are a somewhat unique activity in that it requires so much of your whole person to be engaged in it. It's the way you physically use your body. There's a mental stimulation. For most athletes at the high level, it's also so much of their interpersonal life. And when that is gone, when that's not there anymore, it's really an existential crisis of what do I do now? What am I good for? Mm. And for athletes particularly who haven't thought about that before the end comes, that process can be really jarring.
And is your group and your thinking about who needs help and support and to be thinking about this just professional athletes or who are you thinking about?
Yeah, not necessarily. I think especially since this article has come out, a lot of people can relate to this sort of an idea about losing a part of your identity as an athlete, whether you engaged at an elite level or not. So the group could be for anybody who has at one time identified in some way as an athlete and is no longer able to engage in their sport the way that they would like.
I actually heard from one friend who used to rock climb a lot and had given it up, and she said the piece made her realize how sad she was about that, how she felt like she'd lost not just an activity but an identity.
And isn't there also a real physiological component? I mean, I do sports regularly. I'd hate to imagine what it would feel like to live in this world to not be able to do that, to get my blood pumping through my body on a regular basis and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, there's a really interesting thing. We know that exercise is a preventative factor against anxiety and depression. So what you find in people that have spent a lot of their lives playing sport, being active, when they don't have that, they now also don't have their main coping mechanism, a lot of them, for how to fight off symptoms of anxiety and depression. And a lot of them didn't even realize that that's what exercise was doing. And then some of those things start to hit afterward. And so the combination of the loss of identity and this physiological loss of the exercise as well can be a really dangerous combination.
So what's the recommendation then?
Find another way to use that passion and those skills that made you feel good, that made you feel productive, and to put it into something else. A lot of successful athletes turn to coaching or broadcasting, other ways of staying involved in sport, keeping that competitive edge moving forward.
And Kara, you spoke with an expert at Northeastern University. You wrote about this in your column, who mentioned the role of the coaches and the teams in this process, and that there's more that they should be doing to help the athletes, right?
That's right. I spoke to Justine Siegel, who's the Director of Sports Partnerships at Northeastern University's Sport in Society program.
Now, she is, by the way, for listeners who might recall, she's the first female pitcher to actually pitch batting practice to Major League ballplayers.
Uh-huh.
Very cool.
She knows what it's like to be big in sports and then step away a bit. And she says that it's estimated that about 20% of athletes need considerable psychological adjustment after they leave the sport. And she points out that there's kind of a structural problem, which is that, you know, your coach is so much your guide when you're an athlete. But coaches are focused on the here and now and getting the best performance out of you that they can. And she says that coaches should think more long term, and so should the athletes, that in fact you need to start your exit planning well in advance. You should know that at some point you're going to have to leave.
Yeah, and Dr. Kroner, a follow-up question to you. I'm thinking that athletes in particular tend to be known for toughness, for physical bravado that might make them less likely to seek out this kind of support. Is that true?
Yeah, and research has shown this. It's called a perceived toughness factor. Mm-hmm. And athletes are less likely to seek out mental health services than the general population. And a lot of it is, yeah, just what you said. You know, athletes, I think, often have a sense that they need to sort of grit and bear it or just sort of push through things on their own, seeking out mental health services isn't part of that model way of thinking. And again, a top-down approach in sports organizations where coaches are making mental health services available and also destigmatizing them is an important part of this process.
Mm-hmm. That's Dr. Matthew Kroner. He's a postdoctoral fellow in clinical psychology, and he works at the Brookline Community Mental Health Center. Dr. Kroner, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Common Health's Carrie Goldberg, thank you as always.
Thank you, Anthony.
And you can find a link to Carrie's piece at radioboston.org.